Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics Podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics. And today we are back with another segment of Coach's Corner, as well as another 2024 season preview.
We are super excited to be joined by Cal co-head coach Liz Crandall-Howell, who's going into her 11th season with the Bears and her 6th season as co-head coach along with her husband Justin.
Last season, Cal won a share of the Pac-12 title for the second year in a row. They won the regional championships for the first time ever, and the Cal coaching staff swept the WCGA National Coaching Awards as well. So it was an incredible season for Cal. And Liz joins us to talk about the upcoming season and what fans can expect from her team. She gives a lot of insight into her team's mindset and philosophy with their One Day Better mantra. And she also talks about potential upgrades for the season and so much more. So we hope you all enjoy. Before we get into the interview with Liz, just want to real quickly take a second to mention the fundraiser that Lindenwood Gymnastics has put out. I'm sure by now most people have seen the news, but just in case you haven't, Lindenwood Gymnastics, along with I think like 6 other sports at Lindenwood, are being cut. And for the gymnastics team, this upcoming 2024 season is going to be their last season, sadly, if they do not raise enough money to basically save the program. So it reminds me a lot of what Alaska went through a couple years ago, where they had to raise a large amount of money and not a lot of time. But what Lindenwood is doing right now is they're just asking for pledges. So you don't actually have to donate the money. You don't have to enter like your credit card information or anything like that.
No, we did it already. So we're donating our Patreon donations for the month of December to Lindenwood Gymnastics. And so we just put in like our name, I think I asked for our phone number and then our email. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming the way this would work is if they get enough pledges and there's enough interest and people willing to donate to their program, they'll have your contact information and someone will reach out to you and figure out a way to set up actually getting that money and making a payment.
Right.
But for now, they're just gauging interest, mm-hmm, and how many people out there, you know, have the means or are interested in trying to help them save their program. So
in order to sustain a 5-year operating budget, they're looking to raise over $2 million,
which is a crazy amount of money.
Yeah, we need to get like Kim Kardashian or someone involved in this.
It's a very...
Does anyone know? Does anyone have a contact for Kim Kardashian?
It's a very tall order, but like Ashley just mentioned, at one point in time with Alaska, it also seemed like a very tall order and it kind of seemed impossible. And look at what they were able to do with the support from the gymnastics community and their local community.
And like we said, I think if the school sees that there is interest, that they can get, you know, this $500,000 that they're looking to have by December 31st, which is coming up very quick, if they can get to that mark, you know, the school might consider being a little bit more lenient and allowing them to have more time to continue fundraising, because that's what they ultimately ended up doing with Alaska, and it worked. I mean, they saved the program, and there was a point in time where we thought that was not going to be possible. Like, it was kind of in the back of our minds, like, that's a lot of money and not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, all we can do is try, and I think if the gymnastics community comes together and just gives whatever they can, even if it's just like a dollar, honestly, if you look at like the amount of followers that like are in some of the college gymnastic Facebook groups or like that follow us on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, like if everybody just donated a dollar,
that's thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like it adds up very, very quickly.
And there's obviously going to be people that are able to do more than that. We also want to acknowledge that, like, it's rough in these streets. Like, I think everybody financially struggling in some capacity, unless you're like somebody who's very like well off or established. Like the average person like us does not have a lot of money, but do we have a dollar? Do we have $5? Do we have $10? Do we have $20?
Can I not DoorDash for one day and give that money to Lindenwood instead?
Right. So when you look at it like that, you realize like if you have an interest, I guess, in helping to save this program, which we personally do, then it's really not like super unreasonable. I think that everyone making small contributions ends up being a really big, impactful contribution in the end.
It's helpful to think of it that way.
Yeah. When we had Terry Alonzo from Alaska's program a couple years ago when she was on the podcast, she said that like if you donate just one of your coffees, or like Ashley said, like one round of like DoorDashing, or you know, one trip to McDonald's, even just like one,
Mm-hmm.
If you cut one of those out of your life and you use the money that you would have used to buy that coffee or to buy McDonald's or to DoorDash, whatever, just one time, that could be a really impactful contribution.
And we're just trying to illustrate how you don't have to be like loaded with money to be able to contribute to this. Like, you could literally give just whatever you can afford and it will matter. It will help make a difference and it all adds up.
Yes. And I think the reason why we're like feeling passionate about this, just like we did with Alaska, is I think that they really need us. Like, they need the gymnastics. When I say us, I mean all of us. Like, not just like literally me. Like, they need you listening as well. They need everybody in the gymnastics community, because this is not a massive school. This is not, you know, a football program. You know, those types of sports often get a lot of outside support from thousands and thousands of people. Gymnastics is a small community. It's small, but it's mighty. And I feel like they need all of these people that are so passionate about gymnastics to consider donating to them, like I said, if they are able. But we also understand that, like, it's rough out here.
Right.
So, but only if you're able.
I think it's worth noting also that they launched the fundraiser not that long ago, like just a couple of days ago, and they're already at the time of recording, $47,550, and they're trying to, just as a starting point, they're trying to get to $500,000 by December 31st. So yes, they have a long way to go, but the more people that spread the word, even if you can't contribute, just spreading the word mm-hmm. helps, because it could reach somebody who might be in a position that they're better able to help.
Yeah, or like, talk to people in your life. This is something that I'm flashing back to our Alaska podcast several years ago. But I remember me and Ashley back then, we would like talk to people in our lives. So like our parents, our friends, you know, other family members, because it's around the holidays. Like, yeah, we literally set up a jar for Christmas. This doesn't sound so extra, but hey, honestly, it legitimately worked. We raised like $1,000 for Alaska.
Yeah.
So like, maybe we sound crazy, but
it does work. That as people that like, we do not have money. We do not come from a family that has money. Our friends don't have money. Like, I think to raise that money just by like using your resources.
But what happened was people saw how passionate, well, the people know how passionate we are about gymnastics. Like, our people in our circle know that. And then also just having us passionately explain like why this matters, people were very willing to like, here's $5, or like,
here's $20,
or here's like the quarters from my pocket, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it does add up.
We
so.
We collected and returned bottles, like pop cans or soda cans. I think we went over this last time. We always say pop. It's like a thing that we say in Michigan. We say pop, but I think most people say soda. So I guess soda cans. Anyways. To be fair, I don't drink soda or pop, whatever you want to call it.
But you know what we mean.
We were collecting cans and returning it. Like, it adds up. It truly does. I know it sounds ridiculous, but like, it does matter.
We just want to encourage you all to have belief that you can make an impact in something like this. And it feels good. You know, it's a feel-good thing. It's around the holidays. We all love gymnastics. This is something that means a lot to this entire program and so many people.
And this is a program that has had great success. I mean, being a Division II program, to say that, you know, you've won 4 USAG national titles, 6 MIC titles, you qualified to the NCAA regional championships as a team. They did that in 2019. And they're not that old. They've only been around for 11 seasons. So it's sad to think that that program could come to an end just after this season. And I just feel like we have to do everything we can to try and help. So if you're in a position to be able to pledge an amount, that's amazing. If not, just spread the word. We'll put the link to the fundraiser website in the show notes down below.
Yeah, it's also just Save Lindenwood Gymnastics. So if you go to Google and type in Save Lindenwood Gymnastics, you'll find it that way as well.
Yes.
We were supposed to be having an athlete from Lindenwood, Reese. She's a sophomore, transferred in from Missouri. So this is her first season with Lindenwood and potentially her last season. We were supposed to be having her on the podcast for an interview. Unfortunately, at this time, she discovered that they are not allowed to give interviews at this point in time. So maybe in the future, that's something that we can look for. But for now, just like Ashley said, continuing to support them in any way you can, whether that's financially, that's sharing, spreading the word. I know the team really appreciates it.
All right, now let's go ahead and get into the interview with Cal co-head coach Liz Crandall-Howell. I guess we'll start by looking back. I want to talk about a moment from last season, regional championships. You guys beat Florida and won regionals for the first time ever. You did that with your highest road score and then the highest postseason score in school history. So going into that competition, did you guys have the mindset that you could win? I guess, were you surprised by that result at all?
I'm never surprised by what this team can accomplish. I think that sometimes, you know, your strengths can also be your weaknesses at times. And one of our core values and one of our strengths is humility. And I think that it can sometimes be, it's worth the conversation to say that humility doesn't mean that you don't appreciate your own gifts, that being humble means that you appreciate the gifts of everyone around you and you respect the work that it took to develop yourself to your best, to your fullest potential. And so sometimes I would say the process of our team has been understanding that we can maintain and hold on to that core value while also going out there and being totally confident in our preparation and totally celebrating the things that we do well. And so I actually felt like the first day of regionals, they were a little tight and they were, you know, kind of maybe overthinking what all of the things meant and what this means. And one of the things that we like to talk about the most is concentrate, focus on your task, not what it means. And that your process and your preparation has been spectacular and it earns you the right to compete with freedom and enjoy each other on that day. And so going into day two, that's what we talked about, is to not let the trap of what it might mean get in the way of all the fantastic things that they had the opportunity to celebrate together out on the competition floor. And so we honestly did not pay attention to what anybody else was doing in that meet. And that's always the goal. Like we talk about it, is that your goal is to not know anything that happened in this competition from the beginning to the end, except for what is going on in this circle. Like what is in our bear bubble? The connection goes from this person competing to the team, to the fans, back to the next person. And we try and keep that flow of energy going the entire meet from the beginning to the end. And they like were completely connected. I mean, it was like icing on the cake that they happened to win the meet, but the goal was to go out and do what we do, like yeah. to be completely connected to each other, celebrate each other and enjoy it from the beginning to the end.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. You guys looked good at regionals to the point where like, I was thinking like you guys could win the national championship. Like you guys were on fire. You looked really, really good.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, they look like that in practice all the time. And it has definitely been something, and it's actually a conversation that we are having a lot this year that the team leaders have kind of taken upon themselves to talk about. You can compete with anyone. Mm-hmm. Like you absolutely deserve to have the accolades and that people talk about when they refer to you, that you could be this, you could be like, absolutely. That is something that you've earned from the work that you've done in your process. But you need to actually give those strokes to yourself as well. And you need to like, it has to be a habit that you give yourself the win when you do something well. And that's something that we work on. Like when I land something that in a practice and it was awesome, like I want to hear them say, that was awesome. Like, and take the win of that being great.
Yeah. Celebrate all the victories, even the small ones.
Yep. And to talk about that, you won't get the chance to do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing is guaranteed. And so every moment that passes by that you did not take the opportunity to celebrate, you don't get to have that opportunity back.
So the team qualified onto the NCAA championships for only the fifth time in program history. Unfortunately, you guys had not your best day on bars and were just shy of making it to the final four. How did the team handle that? I guess, what was that moment like? And then looking into this season, how have they used that sort of as motivation to, you know, bounce back from that?
I mean, the way that they competed Beam after that moment happened is just, you know, a complete evidence of who they are as humans, you know, and it's what happens to you in the moments that don't go as planned that define you and like how you choose to react to the things that aren't awesome. And I think that they stayed present. They went into that Beam rotation and did exactly what they had trained to do. And they didn't allow what had happened in the past determine what they were going to do in the present. I mean, obviously they were disappointed. And when we circled up at the end, we talked about, it's totally okay for you to feel upset. Like we're not going to ignore, you know, the disappointment of what was, but that's also a gift. Like you wouldn't be disappointed if you didn't have such passion for what you're doing.
That's true.
And so many people in this world never have that kind of passion for anything. And so like, really, you have to be able to put into perspective the things that hurt you the most are they hurt you because you care, and that's something to appreciate. And so, you know, absolutely, we, you know, are hungry as a group, and, you know, things happen. You know, you can have perfect preparation. You can do all the things that you were supposed to do, and random things still happen. And so really, you have to be able to, you know, live your life in a way that you're going to do everything that you can do to prepare in the process, so that no matter what happens at that point, you can live well and have peace with it.
So moving into this season, can we get a little update on just like where things are at? How has preseason looked? What stands out the most to you with this team?
Preseason has gone really well. I mean, we are relatively healthy, knock on wood, and relatively without too much illness, which I would say, like, we just started getting a little bit of, like, you know, the post visiting home for the holidays, cold, flu, ickies, but not to the extent that we've had in the past. We've got some exciting things in getting some people back that weren't at full strength for the last year. Jordan Kane is doing really well, and she's really been someone who's been through a lot and, you know, really had to believe that she could move through these, like, different setbacks that she's had and push through. And in order to do it, she's had to really embrace the process and what we were talking about before, like, enjoy the moments and give herself the victories of each day. Because whenever you're coming back from an injury, like, that's probably the hardest part, is like being able to see that there is something way, you know, way down the road that you're going to get to when everything seems so hard. And it's when the one day better mentality really kicks in, because it doesn't mean one day perfect. It doesn't mean one day is the best. It means it's going to be better than it was yesterday. And that I'm going to, like, intentionally grasp onto the things that I did improve.
Speaking of that one day better mentality that you guys have, that's something that you carry over every single season, right?
Yes. So the one day better mission is the mission of our program. And it came from originally our very first sports psychologist that we had when we first started working at Cal had this saying that he would use. And for me personally, it was something that, coming out of my elite career, going into my college career and feeling like I had lost the love, lost the reason that I started gymnastics in the first place, and like had to have like kind of a hit a crossroads of like, I'm either going to quit or I'm going to figure out what I love about this, and kind of what I took a little hiatus from gymnastics, which I'm talking like, you know, 2 months, like during the summer. But I was like, I didn't watch gymnastics. I didn't think about gymnastics. I tried a bunch of different activities. And what I found in going through that was that, like, oh my gosh, like, what we can do in gymnastics is so freaking cool. And what the human body can do with discipline and passion and being committed to something is so amazing. And that's probably, those were the aha moments that I had when I was 6, 7 years old. And those things then stayed with me. And like from that point on, I kind of wrapped my mind into this, like, I need to max out each day. Like, what success is going to look like for me is making sure that every single day I find something that I can celebrate or do well. And so that kind of one day better mentality, even though I didn't have it as that quote, was the thing that actually made me start coaching. So when Justin and I came to Cal and started talking with Jeff, the sports psychologist, about that, that was like, that's it. Like, that's what it is. That's what we want to be about. And so that has maintained as our team mission since that very first year. And it's something that it doesn't just have to do with gymnastics.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like that's a great life lesson.
Yeah. It's, you know, really connected to and talked about a lot in this Cal community too. Like, being a part of the University of California in Berkeley is a big responsibility too. Like, you have people that you're surrounded with all the time who are going to change the world. And so, and you're here because you also wanted to be a part of that. And so it's looking at each day and thinking, okay, what am I going to do today to max out my impact on, like, with my talents and the gifts that I have, and also how am I going to make an impact on the world around me? And that, you know, on a micro level is great for gymnastics every day, But on a macro level, it's, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to carry the messages that I've learned through this sport with me beyond? And I think that when I had that moment of like, do I love gymnastics or not? That's what it was really about. Like, I didn't start doing this so that I would turn 21 and it's over.
Yeah.
And as coaches, we really want our team to embrace that. And it's why when you have a moment like the bar rotation, that's not ideal. Like, so, I mean, like, yes, it was disappointing. However, like, this is also a moment that you're going to call upon in your life, you know, years down the road, that you're going to go, oh my gosh, remember when that happened? And I thought it was like the most devastating thing ever, but I put one foot in front of the other and I moved forward. And
right.
The next moment was amazing.
Yeah. It really puts it into perspective too. Like, I think a lot of athletes, they're so focused on like the here and now, which is completely understandable, but like, you have a life that you're going to live outside of gymnastics. And in that moment, like you said, it might feel like the end of the world, but like at some point in your life, you'll look back on that and, you know, you'll see how you were able to like rise above it, come back from it. And like, that's really what matters more than like the disappointment that you might feel in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, and it's also like the through line and the connection of from you to another person. Like, maybe it's, you know, somebody in that rotation is going to have somebody that they're connected to in their life, years from, who's going through something that they thought was devastating. They thought it was the worst thing ever. And they're going to be able to rely on that experience that they had and hold that person's hand and go, nope, like, there is a way forward from here. And they're going to be able to take their experience to help somebody else work through it. And also whatever it is that they come upon in their lives that is hard, because heaven knows there will be many things.
Yes. I absolutely love that mindset. I want to ask about some specific athletes, starting with MJ Frazier. She was a freshman last season, did absolutely incredible things for your program. Talk about her, the season that she had last year, and what your expectations are for her this season.
I mean, MJ was amazing last year. And one of the coolest things to see is how she got more and more comfortable as the season went on. And that coming out of the elite world, you're not really taught or encouraged to celebrate the things that you do well, even though we're seeing it more. And I think that a lot of that has come from watching some of our college athletes go back into the elite world, that fire. I mean, like, we don't necessarily always talk about it as artistry. Like, we're talking about in elite gymnastics, how important artistry is, but like that performance quality that we have in the NCAA it's artistic. And so it's really something that I feel like I watched MJ develop more and more, as she went throughout the season last year, get more comfortable in celebrating her performances and allowing the audience to a window into who she is as a human, and to like get to know her a little bit more through her competing with more freedom and more celebration for what she was doing. And that, you know, showed itself in improved, like more and more improvement in her performances. This year, she is like, she's been through that first year. She's come into preseason, super locked in, getting better and better. I think has a different kind of fire. Like, I think that she's always had a fire in her, but I think that it's even more pronounced and more intentional this year. So I'm excited to see the way that shows up on the competition floor. She's also become quite a leader on the team. I think that freshmen always kind of feel like they're not sure, even when they have opinions, how they should share their voice, like how to use their voice. And on our team, we talk a lot about like, there is no class system, you know, freshman to senior in the way that leadership develops, that every single person here has a valuable opinion to share, and that we want them to share it. And we want them to you know, be included in conversations and share, you know, their perception and their outlook on what's happening, because it all can be helpful. And still, as a freshman, I think that that's something that you have to like take one step, start talking about it. And then you're also like, yeah, I haven't done it yet. I don't have the experience. And so now she's accumulated more experience and she's, you know, doing the work every day in the gym. I think that now she feels more comfortable stepping into that leadership role. So that's been a really cool thing to see. She has a lot of, you know, international competitive experience that not a lot of people on our team have. and sometimes pointing that out to her to say, look, but you've been in situations, even though you haven't been in this situation, you have been in other situations that are similar, that are things that you can lean on when talking about what's helped you before.
What about Andy Lee? She has been so consistent for you guys out on the competition floor. What is she like in the gym? And then same thing, what are your expectations for her this season?
Andy is super steady. Like, I mean, she is like exactly what you see from her on the competition floor. She is nursing a few little just wear and tear injuries from years and years of gymnastics. And so I think that as, you know, as athletes get older, we have to be more mindful too of the way that we begin to peak them for the end of the season. I think that this year we'll be bringing her along a little bit more slowly than we have in years past, just to make sure that she's feeling good at the end of the season. I think that athletes also, as they get more and more experience, have to trust that they don't need the numbers that they needed when they were 15, you know, 14, right. 15 years old.
You got muscle memory.
Yes. And that the type of training can remain intense, but the intensity can shift onto other things that have to do more with body preparation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we try to do a really good job of shifting that and then helping the athletes believe that you're going to be okay. Like, it's, you know, trust yourself. You've been doing this forever. Your body knows what to do. But we have to make sure that your body's ready and prepared so that you handle it in the best way possible.
What about Maya Lazan? I feel like she's someone that every year she just seems to get better and better. We've seen a lot of preseason videos. She looks amazing. What have you been seeing from her in the gym?
So Maya is doing a lot more difficulty as she kind of prepares herself for maybe some other things in gymnastics. You will probably see some things from her as the season goes on. We will think about the right times to bring some of those things out. But I will just say that it's been delightful to watch her gain more and more confidence from her freshman year to her sophomore year to now. The thing about her freshman year is that she was actually doing really, really well. And I think that the accomplishments that she had towards the back half of that season kind of got missed a little bit. She had had a minor foot injury right in the middle of her freshman year season. And so she didn't end up having an NQS on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And yet when I was looking at, you know, her results of the things that she put up, like when she came back, you know, I think that she came back her freshman year, the last weekend of the season, like we had had a double meet weekend at Ohio State. We were at Ohio State on a Friday night and then came back to Cal on that Sunday. And like from that point on, I think that her lowest beam score in that time period from that through the end of the season was a 9.875.
Yeah.
I put those up like, continuously, but because it wasn't, she didn't ramp up till the postseason, she didn't get to count those in her NQS. Mm-hmm. And it was the same on floor. And I just kind of felt like, gosh, like she was amazing. Like, why don't people see that she right. was doing this, you know? And then, so I like was not at all surprised to see her come out and just totally like the NCAA gym world on fire last year, because that's what we saw in her freshman year. And, you know, from my personal opinion, the way that I look at Maya and what she's capable of doing, we're not close to what's possible, you know, like she's yeah. continuing to do this. And yet it's also like, oh my gosh, it's exciting because she continues to improve. And I don't see a limit to where that can go. So.
That makes me really excited.
Yes. I mean, and it's really cool too, to see her also appreciate that. I think that she didn't always know what she was capable of doing. And she kind of would think, oh, that's for like, this person does this and they're so amazing. And having the conversation with her that you are equally amazing and your gifts are these things and pointing out like, these are the things that you have that are uniquely yours, Maya. And allowing her to build on that confidence. And that's really been a cool thing. She also, you know, she was on the coaches council last year, which was a really good step for her in taking on a leadership role. And then this year she's She's also taking on more leadership roles with both in SAC and also with, she's our community service liaison for our team. So she works really closely with the Cameron Institute in, okay. in helping to set up the relationships that we have in the community.
Okay. And what is the Coaches Council? I don't know if I've heard that.
So we have, you know, lots of people have captains and we've, I would say that we have bounced back and forth over the years on what works best. And probably, I think that we might be in like our sixth year of the Coaches Council. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned earlier, we think that it's really important to have, you know, to develop leadership from the time that you come in as a freshman and throughout your time at Cal. And so instead of naming captains, we have a Coaches Council, and there are representatives on the Coaches Council from every class except for a freshman, just because freshmen might not know everything that's going on yet. So it's hard for them to,
right.
to help anybody navigate, you know, how do I deal with this academic thing when they're still learning the ropes of how that all works.
Yeah.
But starting last year, we actually had them interview. So like anybody who's interested in the Coaches Council has to write us a letter of interest, and they have to talk about like, these are the goals that I have for, you know, the team and myself in this position. These are some areas that I've identified that we can really make an impact or improve. And this is how I'm going to do it. And then we bring them in for interviews, just like they're interviewing for a job. And then we select the members of the Coaches Council. Yeah. And so then the Coaches Council meets with us on a regular basis, and they, you know, they're responsible for acting as liaisons between the team and the coaches, but they're also kind of responsible for really building and maintaining the culture of One Day Better and teaching the core values that we have for our team. And the core values are something that our team came up with 4 years ago, like that they all sat down, they kind of do a core value, a personal core value exercise that they're, and those things will change and evolve as you change and evolve as a person. But generally you're going to have these things that are really important to you. So they went through an exercise where they all did that individually, and then they came together and they picked out what are these things that are important to all of us that we really want to hold true to as a team, as a unit. And so it's the Coaches Council's job to kind of make sure that those things are being taught and talked about, and that they're maintaining that philosophy and that learning through teaching our freshmen and our sophomores. Like as you come further through the program, that you're layering on your understanding of what that is and what that means for you, so that legacy of, you know, the people who have built this program continues.
Yeah, I feel like that's the most solid, concrete way that I've ever seen a program establish leadership.
Yeah, I've never heard of another program doing that.
I think that's awesome.
I love that.
And so now it's not something that like you guys don't pick people for this. They have to apply themselves.
They have to apply.
Okay, that's really cool.
And that came to be because sometimes with captains, I mean, like you have a lot of times when you feel like, you know, captains could be, if you vote, it could be just a popularity contest of, you know, who people get along with the best.
Right. Right.
And that's not always, I mean, that's a great, you know, characteristic of a leader is to be a good leader and to have empathy and to be able to be kind to people, but it's not the only thing. That you have to have multiple aspects of leadership. And it's also the reason that we have a lot of people. I should also mention that, like, sometimes we decide there might be two sophomores, there might be one senior, there might be three juniors. It kind of just depends on what we feel like the people who have applied bring as leadership qualities to the Coaches Council. I think that another thing that is that kind of, you know, builds into the way that we try to develop leadership. And again, like the Cameron Institute, which is the program that we have here in Cal Athletics that is career development, leadership development, our sports psychology falls under the umbrella of the Cameron Institute, and community engagement falls under the umbrella of Cameron Institute as well. But one of the things that we do with our sports psychologist is DISC, the DISC profile testing, which is, you know, your behavioral strengths. and how you, it really tells you what kind of leader you are, like where and what kind of communicator you are. And so we do that as a group. The coaches do it, the team does it. And then we do a lot of work around like how to communicate with people who are in different styles. And so our coaches council also is, we're mindful of the makeup of that group. You need to have all of the pieces. There's not a better or worse profile. They're all just, what are your strengths? And then making sure that you can complement each other and that you're, that you can stretch to the areas that aren't easy for you or that they're not your natural.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Yeah, I love all of that. I really feel like it's building knowledge and also skills that they're going to use beyond gymnastics, which ultimately is the most important thing they need to get out of your program, I feel like. And so many programs focus only on gymnastics, I feel like. It's refreshing, I think, to hear you talk so much about building some of those skills, leadership and culture and, you know, personality development, all of that.
The thing that is, thing that I want them to embrace, you know, the most is that the talent that they have to do gymnastics is just, it's an avenue that has brought them to a place that they can choose to develop all of these other qualities that are going to be amplified in their life. And that's why it doesn't end. That when you're done doing gymnastics, you're not done developing those gifts or those qualities. That was just the way that they were brought up in you and nurtured, and it's our job to nurture them.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like they come to our program and we talk to them about this in the recruiting process. And hopefully that the people who, you know, who are really going to benefit from the things that we think that are important, that resonates with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into the experience of being a Cal student athlete and being a gymnast on our team and really feel like, yep, like I want that. I'm ready for that. The gymnastics, like if they're doing all of those things, if you're trying to get one day better and you're intentional about the way that you live your life each day, you're going to be good at gymnastics.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to do the things when you come into your sports practice every day, and you're going to treat those things, you know, in with respect and continue to improve, and you're going to define success based on the things that you can control. And so like the competitive success will be a byproduct of having that type of attitude.
Yeah.
In everyday life.
Wanted to go back, we had a couple more athlete specific questions, and someone I was wanting to ask you about was Mickey Adorinto. She's somebody that I think a lot of gymnastics fans have really been looking forward to seeing, and was just curious if there's any chance we might see her in lineups this season.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Mickey is kind of somebody who's improving everywhere. And she's, you know, bars is a place that I think that she can make an impact pretty quickly. Bars is also a place where we have been pretty strong.
Yeah.
and so, you know, pushing into that group is probably one of the hardest places to, you know, get in and really raise the level. What we hope for with anybody coming into the pro, ultimately, you know, you're having all of the people rise. And so Mickey and Annalise and Kyan and some of the other people who are pushing to get into those lineups are pushing everyone else also, that like everybody is making everybody else get better.
Yeah.
I really would like to see Mickey on beam too. She's a very strong beam worker. She has one of the best flick lele's, most dynamic, consistent flip-flop layout combinations that I've ever coached. And so like, I would love for people to be able to see her do that. She's also battled just little things here and there with injuries. So getting some consistent training behind her where she feels confident is going to be really important.
You just touched on the freshmen, Kyan and Annalise. Anything else you want to add about them and their potential?
Yeah. I mean, Kyan is super powerful. I think that people who watched her compete in club a little bit know that like the number of passes that we have on floor to choose from, it's just like, for me, it's a lot of choices that I'm like, okay, like kid in a candy store a little bit going, what do we use?
Like, yeah.
Trying to figure out what the best direction is. And she also is learning new passes. So I would like to, I've got something that I would really like her to do that hopefully will come out at some point during this season that she's never done before. So
ooh, come on, you can't tease us like that.
But I'm gonna. so it'll be cool, and then but like you'll know when it comes out.
Right.
And then she's definitely going to help our vault lineup for sure. She is getting, I mean, she's getting better everywhere. We're kind of messing around with some, with bar construction on like, what are the best. She's also had a lot of options for skills, Annalise as well. Mm-hmm. Because Annalise was competing at the elite level. She's got a lot of different skills that she can do. And so coming up with the things that are the best, you know, the best options in routine construction for the NCAA has been something that we're really mindful of while also developing things that we're going to want from them in the future. But Annalise also, you know, again, can be beautiful on beam. She's doing everything well. She was supposed to compete at the Pan Am Games and had a foot injury right the week before she was leaving. And so
horrible timing
was not gymnastics.
That happens a lot, I feel like. Gymnasts get injured in non-gymnastics related ways.
Yep, it happens to me all the time, so I can empathize with them. I feel like when I was thinking about gymnastics, I was very like mindful. And I feel like most gymnasts are when they're doing the gymnastics things. And then when you're like walking or you're going downstairs or riding a bike or whatever, sometimes you take for granted that, oh, I also have to be thinking what I'm doing in regular life.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that was, you know, obviously a disappointment for her, but also she took it in stride and was like, all right, this is what I guess is supposed to be my path. And, you know, totally just dove right back into getting prepared for this season. So she's a little bit behind the regular track because she had to heal that foot injury for a while, but she's doing great now.
Is there anyone else that you've seen in practice that's really impressing you so far?
I feel like Maddie Williams. Is if everybody could be with Maddie Williams on a day-to-day basis in the gym, like I think that, I mean, we are always super impressed with her because she's constantly expecting a high level of herself. If anything, we have to remind her at times to like, Jordan, celebrate what you're doing. It's amazing. Like, it's absolutely beautiful. And so watching her celebrate that a little bit more, again, going into the second half of last season, I felt like I saw a huge improvement in her confidence and just her celebrating what she did well. And that was reflected in, you know, in her scoring throughout the back half of the season. I think that she has done bar routines that I could not see a deduction in.
Yeah, she's like literally perfection.
Multiple times. And
you're saying this as somebody who's a judge.
I'm really picky. And so, I mean, I hope that
we're doing our fingers crossed.
Yes. That like, I mean, I love that at least people like appreciate when they're watching her that it's stunning. And so I would love to, you know, have her be able to celebrate that type of appreciation this year. And I think that she also on beam is absolutely, I mean, everywhere she's lovely.
Yes.
And I think that you should really look for her to continue to make an impact in the all around. And I think that she's also a little bit more confident and a little bit more hungry to be like, I can do this. And so like watching that confidence grow in her has been pretty cool.
Confident and hungry is a good combination.
It is.
It's a dangerous combination for everybody else.
Oh.
What about potential upgrades, if you're willing to share any? Because we've seen some. I think we've seen Maya Lazan doing a full in on floor. Who else?
Jordan Kane,
new vault. I guess whatever you want to share.
We just started playing with. So Jordan is doing a pike. She can do a pike front half. But then we also just started playing with the Yurchenko half on vault, which she, you know, like it's literally been like 4 days. And she put a Yurchenko half on front onto mats at floor height yesterday.
Impressive.
Wow. We're like, okay, that's not normal. Like that vault typically takes a very, very long time to develop. But we kind of felt like she did a Yurchenko before And then has now developed like a really strong pike front. And we're kind of just like, wait a second, like,
where did this come from?
We should just marry these two things together. And so she just started like crossing that over. And I think that it actually has a lot of potential. So it's a little early to see where that goes, but what we've seen so far in just this short period of time is that there's a ton of potential there. So that would be an exciting road to go down. Jaden has also been training Yurchenko 1.5 all season, which was a new vault for her. She came in, graduated early from high school and came in January of last year. And she's actually developed as quite a strong leader on our team as well. She works really, really hard and has been just, you know, came in with so much ability to continue to learn and grow in her gymnastics. And so she's always upgrading, like works like really in the learning phase of a lot of things. I think that you can expect to see a Yurchenko 1.5 from her on vault at some point during the season. There are upgrades. She's also doing well on floor. I would love to see Gabby plays with full ends on floor all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so in there for her. I would love to be able to put that out there at some point. MJ does, you know, MJ can double-double any day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On floor. It's just whether or not, you know, it's the right time to do it. She also has learned a 1.5 front full on floor. So right now she does front through double back for her last pass, but she can also do a 1.5 front full, which kind of felt like opening up the door to different combinations. It's just always good to have. And like we work outside of what they do in their routines all the time. You know, it's helpful that we have three people on staff that came from a club coaching background. And we have always felt like training above your level, training above the skills that you have in your routines is the way to develop the most confidence. It allows you also to just have more mastery of movement, you know, just like build in different things outside of the one dimensional things that you do in your day-to-day routines. And so really we're making sure that we're intentional about working outside of what's comfortable. And that in doing that, that we're making sure that we're filling in the gaps of overdeveloping some strengths and not developing some strengths in other areas. I think that it helps with air awareness with everything. But then also, if you know that you're playing gymnastics at this level, competing gymnastics down here makes you feel far more confident. And it also allows you to be confident in making really detailed corrections. Because you don't make really detailed corrections when you want to survive a skill. You know, you make those corrections when you're doing basics, when you're walking across the floor and doing kicks and things like that. And then when you're doing the skills that you're really certain of, that you can lock into, okay, what does my right foot feel like in the middle of this double layout? You're not going to think about that on when you're developing skills that are beyond what you're actually competing. And so making sure that we're always staying ahead of that, so that we're really comfortable getting detail oriented and dialing into the things that we do that we're competing.
Looking at the team as a whole, what would you say is like the strength of the team and then a weakness if you think that there is one? And that can be like gymnastics wise, or that could be like a characteristic or quality of the team, I guess, however you want to interpret that.
I would say two things that I think that are both strengths and weaknesses. One of them I already mentioned, and that is the humility piece.
Yes.
And I think that is, they're incredibly humble and kind, and they have a ton of respect for everyone else that they see doing gymnastics. And that is also a weakness, in that they have to give themselves the same kind of credit that they give to the other people that they see. And then the other one that I think is also a strength and a weakness is the size of our team, where we are at 14, probably going to be 15 in January. And the strength of that size is their connection, that like, it's very hard to continue to stay, at least in our experience, the larger the team that we've had, it's been harder to stay really intimately connected as a group, just because everybody has a finite amount of personal resources to connect with people at any given time. And so that is a strength, their connection in the group. is something that really makes that bond feel tight, and it really helps them dig in and pull each other through times that are hard. And at the same time, it's harder, obviously, when you don't have more numbers to build a ton of depth. And so that is something that every single person has to be aware of, what their impact is and how they can make a difference and see their value. And so it's just, I think that anytime you have strengths and weaknesses, you have to have an awareness of what those are so that you can try and fill in the gaps.
You mentioned going from 14 to 15 potentially in January. Do you have somebody coming in?
We possibly have someone coming in.
Okay. Build the suspense.
Yes. What would you say is the team's biggest goal for the season?
I mean, we want to be prepared and put ourselves in the situation to compete with every single team on the floor on the final night. I mean, we were aware that we were one routine away from being able to compete with anybody who was there. It was anybody's meet that last night.
Yeah.
I think that it took sitting in the stands and watching it for some of them to go, wow, we can be there. And so that's kind of been the conversation. And again, I wanted to be clear that the thing that we don't talk about is like, we want to win this, or we want to be there. Because we know that we can't control that part.
Yeah.
We can control our preparation in the process. And so the conversation is around, do everything that you possibly can to put yourself in the situation to compete with anybody on that final day. We absolutely talk about the reality of, you can't control everything that happens. You can't control your scores, but you absolutely can control the choices that you make each day, how you prepare, your reactions to things that go wrong. Mm-hmm. And that they all have the talent and the ability to compete with anybody. And so those things are the things that we talk about. And then what happens from there is in their hands. The way that they show up for the moment is up to them.
Well, your team is really talented, and I hope that they know how talented they are, because us as gymnastics fans, we see it. We see the potential with your team, and I think you guys will go very, very far if they have the confidence to get there.
Yep, I agree. And they're just a really, really cool group. Fun to hang out with. They're fun to like just to be around. They're caring and kind. And we are like, at the end of the day, like, we're always just like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of this team. Like, that they're developing into really cool human beings.
I wanted to talk about you and Justin and your guys' role in Cal's success as a program, because you guys came in and it took a program that was, you know, ranked in the 50 range and made it a team that is consistently in the top 10, consistently in contention to make it to nationals and be in the conversation to be on the final four and all of that. So I guess, what do you see as the key to success with your guys' success in the last recent years?
I think that, you know, we spent a lot of time here in NorCal Coaching Club. And, you know, Justin's been in the Bay Area since he was 14. I was born in California. I obviously trained away from home in Arizona for my elite gymnastics, but my roots are here. And we always knew that people who came to this school, who choose, you know, to put themselves in a situation where excellence is all around, and that people don't compartmentalize their excellence generally. I don't believe that somebody who, you know, wants to push themselves to this level in their academics is okay with like, okay, but over here, I'm just going to be like, okay, and I'm not going to push myself that hard. It is a mindset that you take on and embody pretty much everywhere in your life. If that's what you're choosing to do, you probably choose it everywhere.
Yeah. That's a good point. Honestly, that's so true.
And so watching the student athletes at Cal, that were already, not only do they choose to come here, but they know that they're going to come here and they're going to be doing their sport, like taking on this whole other set of responsibilities. They must have an elite mindset. And so being able to go in there and harness, you know, come here and harness that elite mindset that they're already carrying into everything else, into gymnastics, it wasn't going to take long to be able to just remind them that you already have these tools, you already have these gifts now. Just like, how do we put them in this world of gymnastics over here and just keep taking one step at a time, getting one day better, that like if we could improve a little bit in the first year, that they would improve their confidence, that they would start seeing it, which is what happened. Did not think, like, it wasn't, I think a thought in our minds that this team couldn't make regionals in the first year, that when we came in, we looked at their talent and we're like, okay, they absolutely can compete at this level. Like, let's just, but they needed to believe it. And so the first year was about getting them to believe that they could do that. And then after the first year, they were like, oh, we can be pretty good. And then that lit a little bit more of a fire underneath them. So this, and then the second year was a huge jump, you know, from 28 to 16. And after that, that was just like the standard of who we believe that we are, you know, and then the legacy of what those athletes had done to start talking about one day better. And then what we talked about earlier in the coaches council, like, how do you have the through line from the people who start doing that and it starts to be important to them? How do they convey that message to those who are coming after them? And when you think about the great gymnastics programs that have been forever, I mean, like the Georgia, Alabama, Utah, like those programs that began from very humble beginnings, you know, at the beginning of NCAA gymnastics. But one of the things that they've done really, really well is that their alumni and the people who built those programs have continued to talk to the people who come after them. And they feel a very strong connection from the people who started the program all the way to the people who are competing now. I'd say that one of the people who was really supportive of us always, and then obviously her daughter just graduated from Cal last year, was Kristen Smith, having been a Cal alum, you know, and that we were coaching against each other when she was at Stanford, but she was always encouraging. She always talked with the athletes that were here too, about mm-hmm. like being proud of them and what they were doing. And I think that even just that, like, and that whole 1992 class who had made nationals for the first time ever had been very connected. Like, they have been connected to the program. They've come back for alumni events and whatnot. And I think that having those connections has made the athletes that we've had on our team in the last decade really feel like they're carrying on that legacy, and they carry with them a greater responsibility. And so now it's the job of the people we have on our team to continue to tell their story.
Speaking of legacy, I'm thinking of the Pac-12 right now, and this is your guys' last season in the Pac-12. How does the team feel about that? And I guess, how are you navigating that as a team?
I think that I have a lot of sensitivity around that it might not be the last Pac conference for. I mean, like, Oregon State is still in the Pac. I don't know if that will continue to build. I know that it will be Cal's last year in the Pac-12 and what we've traditionally accepted as this group of teams. I think it's really, really sad. I mean, like, I grew up in Northern California. I have watched the Pac-12, like the Pac-10, the Pac-8, the Pac-10, then the Pac-12, you know, evolve. And I think that the whole process of realignment has been sad for a lot of us. And especially, you know, there's been so much work that has gone into building the Pac-12 conference in gymnastics as a strong conference that was taking a lead in a lot of areas to try and to stand out and to be an example of what a strong conference can be in your sport. I mean, that part has been really, really difficult. And I think that our student athletes that have competed in the Pac-12 forever are very proud of that. And that's a lot. You've seen them all posting, like, there's been this Instagram thing of Pac-12 athletes only on Instagram this week, but it's just really cool. Like, when I'm seeing these pictures come up on my Instagram feed and remembering, you know, all the beautiful young people who've contributed is pretty cool. As far as what we talk about on our team, like, we're looking forward to competing in the ACC. You know, it's exciting for us personally that we are going to a conference that is starting for gymnastics.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool that while so many things are seemingly breaking down, that here you have an area where our sport is growing. And so to be part of that is a pretty cool thing. If we have to step outside of what we have known as our normal in the Pac-12 going into somewhere that's building in gymnastics, I think is pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's cool that like the Pac-12 has been around for, I mean, I don't know exactly what the number is, but over 100 years. It's like it's one of the longest standing conferences, and it's sad to leave that, but then I guess exciting as well to go to something that's so new and being a part of the history with the new conference. I think it could be a positive thing.
Yes. And so like, you know, we always try and wrap our minds around the things that are positive and what we can control. I think that for us, the travel, I know a lot of people talked about the travel here and there. We've gone out of our way to compete outside the Pac-12 conference whenever possible. Like we really wanted to compete in a lot of these podium meets. We've tried to expose our team to people outside of our conference too, because that was also a lot of the building blocks of getting them to compete at a higher level, was being able to see what's out there. Like, if you don't know what your competition is, how do you improve, like in an intentional way? And so I think that, and also how do you build your confidence? Cause I think that they also had a lot of perception that those teams are this level and we're here. And so when you see each other head to head, you get a better gauge of what that is. So we have in the last 6-7 years really done a lot more traveling and gotten a lot more support from our institution to travel and to be able to really set ourselves up for the best case scenario in the postseason. So the travel, I don't think is going to be much different than what we're doing right now. I mean, the ACC only has 6 gymnastics teams with the addition of Stanford and Cal. So it's a little less than the 8 teams that were in the Pac-12 as far as what we have to do for our conference scheduling. So the plus side of that is that it leaves us a little bit of freedom in scheduling that we didn't have before. So that part, I think, is something that's beneficial. As far as talking about it with our team and being the last season, we're not putting any more pressure on this season and this Pac-12 championship than we would any other year.
And last question, just listening to you for this last, I don't even know how long we've been talking, but you're so full of wisdom. I'm curious, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned in your time as a head coach?
There have been so many. I always knew coming into college coaching that there would be so many rewards beyond the gym, that you don't always have the opportunity to deal with as a club coach. You're dealing with a group of young people that are away from their parents for the first time in their lives. And they're adults and they have to start making decisions for themselves. And so I think I have developed more empathy for sure. I think that it's helped me as a parent to be able to, sometimes I say, it's kind of like you kind of get a cheat sheet as a college coach because you're dealing with, I've dealt with adults before I had adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
and now I have some adults but I think that empathy of realizing that there are so many things outside of your control that come at you at any given moment. And that often before we've ever gone through any of those things, it's really easy to make judgments of what you woulda, coulda, shoulda done in certain situations. And one of the biggest gifts of this job has been being able to really experience some of these things with other humans, young adults, from the people that I'm surrounded by, you know, other coaches, you know, with Justin, you know, Justin and John and Janelle, Jessa, Jeffrey, all the people that have been part of Cal Women's Gymnastics, but also the other coaches and professors and different people that I interact with in this institution, like sharing personal human experiences with people and being able to grow from their experiences and then feel the feelings with them to build more empathy has probably been the biggest reward.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that we didn't ask you that you wanted to mention about your team this upcoming season? Anything you want to add?
Well, you know, that Justin and John tell the best dad jokes
Good to know. Very important information.
So they think. So that's, you know, if you ever feel like you need to just throw one at them, they can come up with some super corny things.
If they were around you right now, I'd ask them to come on the screen and share a dad joke, but I don't know if they're there.
they're around. They're actually in a meeting at the moment, but
well, they can consider themselves lucky.
or you can consider yourselves lucky. You partake in the full corniness of what is our everyday. And then that, like, I think that people continuing to tell the story, I think that anybody who points out the things that that our team, you know, does in the Maddie Williams, you know, gosh, that's stunning. Like, those things are all the stories that I like to tell for them, because they're, again, so humble that they don't like to tell their own stories sometimes. So, like, I'm always open to talking about how fabulous they are.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come chat with us and come brag about your team. We're so excited for you guys. Such beautiful gymnastics, and
some of the most, like, textbook perfect. And I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. Like, genuinely, I think any gymnastics fan that's listening to this is going to agree. Like, you guys do some of the most textbook perfect gymnastics. And yeah, we're big fans of your team, and I think you guys are going to go far.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Yes, can't wait for season.
Yes, me neither. We're almost there.
I know, right? It's going by so fast. Like,
what, we got 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah. Yep. I'm ready for it.
We actually get to have our first, we've never had a full inner squad in Haas.
Really?
Ever. Really. And we get to have one next Sunday.
Oh, that's exciting. What was the thing that you guys were doing this, I think it was last month now, the lights were kind of like dim.
Oh my gosh, we did, this was so cool. We did it was called Late Night at Haas, and it was a women's basketball, men's basketball, women's gymnastics event that was like, it was a preseason, thing, right before the basketball started, but it was like all the prime sports that compete in Haas were out there. And so we all did it together. So the lights were out and like, but like we did beam in the dark.
Yeah. I was confused. I'm like, is this an inner squad?
Be impressed. No. But we also got, like, I don't know if you know who Mark Madsen is. He's our new basketball coach. He used to play for the Lakers. He stood on the beam. Like, I got him to stand up on the balance beam. It was hilarious. And I was like, I was so impressed. But he's like, that thing, I've never really been next to a beam. Is it really like 4 inches? And I'm like, yeah, you want to like get on it?
Try it out.
Seriously? I'm like, sure. Like, well, so Justin and I kind of like spotted him getting up there. But like, it's so funny because, you know, we're standing next to him on the beam and I'm literally like at his belly button height. I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he's way taller than me. All standing there on the beam together.
That's awesome.
But no, it was awesome. So we did like, they did like a 3-point contest. The girls did like a 3-point contest, I think. And like, or the guys did 3-point, the girls did a skills challenge. And then we did beam. And then Maya Lazan made a half court shot.
So basically, when she's done with gymnastics, she has a basketball career ahead of her, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So this inner squad, is there a way for fans to watch?
Maybe. So it's open to the public. We are actually going to have a new scoring system they're testing. Like, we're using it as a, like, to see if the scoring system works. The scoring system also has the capability of doing streaming. So it's possible. We haven't worked it all the way through yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah. If not, we'll have videos posted.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. And for fans in the Bay Area, what time is that at? Do you know offhand?
Yes. So we'll be starting at noon. Doors open at 11:30.
Oh, if you're in the area, go.
Also, if we can get another thing to look forward to. Like I said, we're bringing her along a little bit slowly, but Andy did choreograph her own floor routine this year and it's super cool. So hopefully we get to see it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Can't wait. Fingers crossed. Yes. Has she ever done choreography before?
When I can convince her to help me. And she, you know, dances. So she has danced for a dance troupe in the summers. This last summer she didn't, but summer before she did. It's like a hip hop dance group on campus.
I didn't know that. And I think, like, you said it on the broadcast a few times.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, even though in gymnastics, we know her as, you know, this elegant, classical, this style of gymnast. She also can do this whole other genre that she loves. And so last year, the floor routine choreography, that was the goal, is to try and bring some of that hip hop section into what she's always traditionally done. She also is like a beautiful contemporary dancer. I'd say that the floor routine that she did kind of is a fusion of all of it.
Well, we're really excited to see it. You've teased a bunch of things in this interview. We appreciate it.
Have to watch us and see.
Yeah, we're getting us excited. We love it. We want to say thank you so much to Liz for taking the time to chat with us. We cannot wait to see what you guys accomplish, and we look forward to cheering you on this season. Moving into our season preview for Cal, another team that I'm just so, so excited to see this season. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and mainly because they are returning a big portion of the team from last year. Yeah, this is a team that accomplished so much last season. They were ranked top 10 on every single event. They were ranked 4th on bars by the end of season, 6th on beam. So these are some of the top lineups in the entire country, and they're bringing all of that back with the exception of Nevaeh D'Souza.
Mm-hmm. They're also losing Maya Green and Natalie Siddiqui, but Nevaeh was the one that was consistently competing in the all-around and bringing in big scores for Cal, which is not easy shoes to fill, but they have two incredible freshmen coming in, a lot of people returning from injuries, so I think between all of that, they're really going to be able to make up the one routine on each event that they're losing mm-hmm. from Nevaeh. And so I think it's going to be another great year for this team.
Yeah, they finished the season in 7th last year, and actually the WCGA preseason coaches poll was like just released a couple days ago, and Cal was listed as 7th on that poll. And I think you could actually argue that they should have been higher, but that's just my opinion.
I agree. I mean,
I didn't fully agree with those rankings in general, but yeah. I'm not going to go too deep into it.
Cal has a really small team compared to other teams. They're small but mighty, I would say. So they have 14 athletes on their roster, but you heard Liz kind of tease that somebody might be coming in January. So there's a possibility that they'll go up to 15 on their roster, but definitely smaller in size compared to other teams.
But what's impressive about this team is that a lot of them are capable of doing the all-around and doing the all-around well.
Mm-hmm.
You have Andy Lee, who's consistently been an all-arounder for them. It sounds like they'll be bringing her along more slowly this year. I noticed that we weren't seeing a whole lot of her in preseason, so I'm glad to kind of get some clarification on that because I was worried that she was injured, but
right.
We have seen her. She's just working her way in slower on the leg events, like vault and floor.
Yeah. MJ Fraser, of course, like such a gift to this Cal team. She was incredible last year as a freshman.
And also a gift to the sport of gymnastics. Her ring leaps on floor are, I'm not kidding you,
my favorite thing.
My favorite piece of gymnastics that, like, I would say top 5 piece of gymnastics, and it's not even, like, it's a leap, but, like, it's that good. Like, I literally could watch her do that leap all day.
All my favorite moments in gymnastics are, like, specific moments. Like, Michaela Maroney's vault from the 2012 Olympic team final.
And Michigan winning NCAA
like, Abby High School's beam routine to clinch the national title for Michigan. And then MJ Fraser's ring leaps.
Just in general.
Yeah.
It's that good. Anyways, I think she's gonna have another incredibly strong year. We've seen her training so many upgrades. Her execution on every event is amazing. I mean, that applies to the whole Cal lineup. Maya Lazan mm-hmm. is somebody who just continues to get better every single year. I would love to see her in the bar lineup this season so she can actually be a consistent all-arounder because I think she could be one of the best all-arounders in the entire country.
Yeah, so Maya is actually, just looking at averages from last season, Maya is the top returning scorer on vault and beam for Cal. And then Andy Lee, you mentioned, she's the top returning score on bars, and then MJ is the top returning score on floor.
So they have a good squad coming back. Maddie Williams,
yes,
another all-arounder, and does some of the cleanest, most perfectly executed gymnastics in the entire NCAA.
I agree with Liz what she said in the interview. I want to see a 10 from her this season. I don't even care what event, honestly. Like, I think she's just so, her technique is just so good across the board. Somebody give this girl a 10. They also have other people stepping up. I think we've seen a lot of Jordan Kane, a lot of videos of her in the preseason. Ella Cesario, we've seen her training Yurchenko 1.5 on vault,
which would be an upgrade and something that Cal needs. Cal is one of those teams that vault, I would say, the past couple of seasons has been their weaker event, and they have some really nice clean Yurchenko folds, and then they usually have like a couple 10-0 start values towards the end. I would say we can expect about the same this season. They yeah. have more people training 10-0 start values,
right? So they're losing Nevaeh, who was a Yurchenko 1.5, but then they're bringing in
like Kaye Mayhew, for example. She has a really nice Yurchenko 1.5 that I think could see itself in the lineup.
Absolutely. She has a career high of 995 from her level 10 days, which is a huge score.
Jaden Silvers, a sophomore, she's training in Yurchenko 1.5. I think it's possible that we could see that this season as well. We mentioned Jordan Kane. She's training the front pike half. And then just very recently started doing the Yurchenko half on ball. I don't know if that'll be ready by the time season comes around, but working with some options, I guess, some 10-0 options.
And then Alice Cesario 1.5. Did you mention that already?
I did like a couple minutes ago. Okay. But yeah.
I'm like, I can't remember.
We went down the list. Now we're kind of like going back up and we're kind of counting as we go.
And then they have the typical mainstays in the vault lineup that do 10-0 start values. Maya Lazan does a 1.5. MJ Frazier does the Yurchenko double.
Casey Brown is somebody who was capable of doing a Yurchenko 1.5. She did one as a level 10.
Only did the full last season, but we've seen her training it again in the preseason. So something to keep your eye on there. They also technically have Mickey, who came in as a level 10, formerly competing a 1.5. But we haven't seen her really vaulting, I don't think, at all at Cal. So not really mentally factoring her into my vault lineup just yet.
I think where this team is really going to have an advantage on other teams is just with their technique and their execution on events like Bars and Beam. I mean, obviously, those are two really, really strong events for this team. And I think a lot of the top teams use vault to kind of like get ahead, if that makes sense. They use the fact that they have 10-0 start values to get ahead.
Well, because it's an extra half 10th. If you have an entire lineup of 10-0 start values, it's an extra half 10th advantage on every single vault over a team like Cal who doesn't have all those 10-0 start values. And UCLA in the past has been a team that doesn't have it. There's a lot of teams that, you know, MSU that are top teams but are kind of having to push the difficulty, push the envelope a little bit more on vault to try and get some more 10-0 start value so they can actually like have that advantage as well.
Right. I think for Cal, I'm looking at Bars in particular, they're returning 6 of the 7 routines from last year's lineup. Everyone in that lineup is capable of going 9-9 plus. They have a lot of solid depth options as well on that event. So,
and Beam as well. Like, it's going to be another strong event for them. Floor was also a great event for them last season. Like we said, on every single event, including vault, they were top 10 in the nation. So, it goes to show you how well-rounded this team actually is.
I think it's impressive that despite not having all of the 10-0 start values that some of the other teams might have, that Cal is still consistently a team that's been in the mix. Like, I think that just goes to show you how, paying attention to the details, you know, the form, the execution, the landings.
It does matter.
Yes, because, you know, nowadays there's so many teams that are really stepping it up. It's not easy to be a top 10 school, really. It's not. So for Cal, I think to consistently find themselves in the mix, I think it's a testament to just how much they work those details and all the little things in gymnastics that we sometimes overlook.
And that not many teams can say that they do well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe minus like in Oklahoma,
Cal
is right up there with them in terms of execution and how well they're actually doing the gymnastics that, you know, they're putting out on the floor.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the freshman, Kaye Mayhew, at level 10 nationals last season. She got second on vault and floor. Those were absolutely her strongest events. Definitely in contention for a lineup spot. I would say vault, she's probably about as close to locked in as you can get. Like we mentioned, they don't have all of the 10-0 start values as some of these other teams. So a clean, powerful 1.5 from Kaye Mayhew is going to be, I think, a mainstay in that lineup.
Yeah, you mentioned her second place finishes on vault and floor. Also want to shout out 2022. She was second on vault and she won floor that year, and then in 2021 she was second on vault, second on floor, and second all around. So she's consistently in her level 10 career been very good at those events in particular.
Yeah, on floor she competes a pike full end,
so she actually has a career high, by the way, of a 10 in level 10, which is not an easy thing to do. So
on floor, and then vault, like you said, is a 995. So
impressive.
Definitely someone you're going to want to keep your eye on. They also have Annalise Newman-Achi, who competes at the elite level internationally for Trinidad and Tobago.
Yep, she was at the World Championships in 2022. This past year, level 10 national, she was fourth on bars. She's a 5-time level 10 national qualifier. So she's somebody who has a lot of experience. You heard Liz mention that she's working her way back from an injury. So she's a little bit behind the rest of the team in terms of, you know, preparation for this season, but lots of potential there for sure.
And if not this season, in the future, definitely.
Yeah. So what do you think overall? What is your hope? What is your dream? What do you think is going to happen with the team this season?
This is another team that I absolutely expect to be top 10 for sure, but I would really say top 8. I see them in the top 8 nationally. I think they have a great shot of making it back to nationals, contending for the Final Four again.
I think they have a strong shot of winning the Pac-12 championships in the final season of Pac-12 gymnastics.
That would be amazing. Honestly, for any of these teams to say that they won the final. And I know that Liz said they don't put pressure on them to like make that happen, just because that is a lot of pressure to like go into that competition knowing that it's like the last one.
The last one, yeah.
There's a lot of emotions that come with that. So,
but I think that they're capable of it. We don't say that to put pressure on the team. Just genuinely looking at what they have on their roster, I think that it's a realistic goal for them.
Well, I also think something that I really appreciated Liz talking about was the team building confidence and trying to increase that belief that, you know, they actually can see themselves being one of the top teams. I feel like that's the biggest hurdle for so many teams to get over. Like, the gymnastics could be there. The even bigger hurdle is getting yourself to see yourself and see your team at that level of, you know, an Oklahoma or a Florida, or, you know, those teams that you consistently see at nationals every single year, the teams that are getting first or second at nationals. Like, you have to kind of start to have that belief that,
why can't you beat Utah for the Pac-12 title? Why can't you beat out, you know, any of the top teams to make it to the Final Four? Why can't you be there on that final day and make a push for the national title?
And like, I think once you see yourself in that light, a world of possibilities just like, it like blows the door open.
Yeah, it opens up for sure.
So I feel like that's kind of the phase that Cal is in right now. And I feel like Liz talked about that a lot. And I really appreciated hearing that perspective and the work that they're doing as a coaching staff and as a team to mentally make sure that they're putting themselves in a position to be able to put their best foot forward at some of those bigger competitions.
Just like last year when the team was so close to being able to make it to the Final Four, I see Cal being back at Nationals, and I see them being that team that, you know, don't be the team in that NCAA championship semifinal that thinks that you have it easy and you just gotta beat Cal to make it to the Final Four. Like, they're not an easy team to beat.
I think those days are long gone, truthfully. Yeah. Like, the bubble teams, the teams that I guess we would consider historically to be the bubble teams for qualifying to Nationals and even qualifying onto the finals at Nationals, you know, Kentucky, Michigan State, Cal, Michigan,
Denver.
Those types of teams that are, like, really, really, really strong, but also, like, lethal in a lot of ways, because I think people sleep on those teams. And then, like you said, you could show up at a regional final and think, like, oh, like, I just need to beat this team. And like, that's doable, right? But then you're like, oh wow, they're like really good. That's what happened at regionals last year.
I'm not kidding when I say that watching Cal, I definitely thought, like, why couldn't this team win nationals? Like, if they're performing like this at nationals, why couldn't they win it? You know what I mean? Like, and of course it's impossible to predict. You never know what's going to happen on that day, even with the other teams, but I could just see the talent, the potential. I could see the vision, you know?
And like I said, I think the NCAA is so competitive right now that, like, the top 10 teams all on any given day could be the best team in the country. Like, I really do believe that.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, be strongly contending for a spot in that Final Four.
Which I think Cal is going to do yet again this season.
That does it for this episode. We hope you all enjoyed it. And of course, we always end by thanking our Patreon supporters. Your guys' support seriously means so much to us. We've been getting so much support lately, and we just couldn't be more grateful. It really does help us to, like, feel good about the work that we're doing and knowing that people actually appreciate it. So
thank you.
Yes, we love you. And if you enjoy the podcast and you also want to support, we have a link in the show notes down below to our Patreon page. You can also find it in the link tree that's in each of our bios on social media.
Our plan is to have another episode out this Thursday. We're hoping to do like a freshman to watch, freshmen that are under the radar type podcast. So that will hopefully, if all goes according to plan, be out on Thursday. And then also we're going to save the question of the week for that episode, just because this episode has been a little bit long and the question that we want to answer is a little bit
more
in-depth than, you know, it's not just going to be like a 2-minute thing. So we figure we might as well just save it for another episode. So be on the lookout for that. We hope you guys have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye.